from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia's membership status in BRICS and OECD continues to progress. Indonesia pushes for passage of resolution through special session of UN Assembly. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where spokesperson for the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Roy Sumirat, said that Indonesia's membership process in BRICS and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, continues to progress. In a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, Roy assessed that Indonesia's joining BRICS is a strategic decision that is in accordance with national interest. He also assessed that this forum is an important forum for developing countries to strengthen global economic and political cooperation.
Saya dapat sampaikan bahwa proses akses Indonesia di kedua entiti tersebut terus berlanjut. Bergabung Indonesia ke BRICS merupakan dukungan jawaban tahan politik luar negeri bebas aktif, di mana kita akan terus berpartisipasi dalam berbagai forum yang memberikan keuntungan nyata bagi national interest Indonesia, dan kita akan selalu terbuka untuk bekerjasama dengan negara atau organisasi.
Roy also said, in addition to BRICS, Indonesia is also accelerating the accession process to the OECD. He said on November 24 to 28, the Secretary General of the OECD visited Indonesia to hold a series of meetings with President Prabowo Subianto and his cabinet members. The meeting discussed concrete steps that Indonesia must take in fulfilling the membership accession's roadmap. Roy explained, membership in OECD will provide many benefits for Indonesia, including strengthening economic reform policies that have a positive impact on society. Indonesia urged United Nations Member States UN to support the resolutions that encourage a ceasefire in Gaza and political support for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine's Refugees, UNRWA. The call was conveyed by Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Arman Atanasir, in a speech before the UN General Assembly Emergency Session, or ESS 10, which discussed Israel's illegal actions in the Palestinian territories in New York, United States, on Wednesday. The emergency session was held as a result of the use of the veto of one of the permanent members of the UN Security Council on a draft resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza on November 20, 2024. Arman Atanasir also highlighted the importance of support from the world community to end the suffering of the Palestinian people.
Double standards has given Israel the license to kill. Double standard is unraveling the multilateral system. Many are now saying we are entering the age of the collapse of the international rule of law, the collapse of the international order. The very order designed by the powerful countries who are no longer committed to upholding them.
Armand Atanasir also urged countries to start taking concrete steps through the cessation of arms shipments to Israel, effective implementation of UN Security Council resolutions and International Court of Justice decisions, and improvement of humanitarian conditions in Gaza through international assistance. Indonesia also deplores Israel's steps that continue to obstruct the entry of international assistance to Gaza and increasing efforts to discredit UNRWA. According to Armand Atanasir, Indonesia also felt the loss of 333 humanitarian workers, including 249 UNRWA staff, while helping Gazans. UNRWA is the last hope for the people of Gaza. In addition, UNRWA has become a savior for more than 2 million Palestinian refugees. Indonesia's Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armand Atanasir, said that the double standards exhibited in Gaza have damaged the world's multilateral system. During the UN General Assembly Emergency Sessions, ESS 10, in New York, United States, on Wednesday, Armand Atanasir said that since the war on Palestine began, a draft UN Security Council resolution aimed at stopping violence in Gaza ran aground due to the use of the veto. Of the four resolutions that were successfully passed by the UN Security Council, none was effectively implemented. Beyond that, various legal products from the International Court of Justice and the Criminal Court. Legal products from the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court that demand accountability and cessation of crimes against humanity have not been obeyed. According to Deputy Minister Nasir, this double standard seems to give a green light to Israel to continue violence against the Palestinian people and undermine the international legal order.
Double standards has given Israel the license to kill. Double standard is unraveling the multilateral system. Many are now saying we are entering the age of the collapse of the international rule of law, the collapse of the international order, the very order designed by the powerful countries who are no longer committed to upholding them.
Deputy Minister Armand Atanasir also invited countries to start taking concrete steps through stopping arms shipment to Israel. Effective implementation of UN Security Council resolutions and International Court of Justice decisions, and improving humanitarian conditions in Gaza through international assistance. According to Deputy Minister Armand Atanasir, Indonesia believes that a two-state solution is the only way to sustainable peace between Palestine and Israel. The Vietnamese Embassy in Jakarta held a reception in Jakarta on Thursday to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the founding of the Vietnam People's Army. Secretary of the Director General of Defense Strategy of the Indonesian Ministry of Defense, Brigadier General Imer Butar-Butar, in his speech highlighted the cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam, especially in the field of defense, based on the spirit of collaboration and mutual respect.
The relationship between Indonesia and Vietnam has historically been defined by mutual respect, shared values, and collaborative efforts across numerous sectors, particularly in defense and security. Our robust partnership is anchored in trust, understanding, and a collective commitment to fostering a free, open, and peaceful ASEAN region.
Imer also said defense sector collaboration between Indonesia and Vietnam has made significant progress by actively enhancing regional stability, promoting peace, and strengthening defense capabilities. He's optimistic that collaboration between the two countries, especially in the field of defense, can be further deepened in the future. Imer believes that the partnership between Indonesia and Vietnam is able to create regional and global stability while providing inspiration for future generations. Indonesia continues to encourage ASEAN's concrete steps in resolving the Myanmar's crisis. One of the efforts currently being prepared is through the ASEAN Troika mechanism. This important meeting is planned to be held in Thailand on December 20th by presenting Indonesia, Laos and Malaysia as members of the Troika. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Roy Sumirat explained this meeting will be divided into two main series.
Ada pertemuan di Thailand nanti. akan terdapat beberapa series of meeting. Yang pertama adanya informal consultation.
At the meeting in Thailand, there will be several series of meetings. The first is an informal consultation where the Troika members will have a separate meetings and will conduct an updated assessment of the meeting in Myanmar and the way forward, what will be done together, and secondly, there will be an extended informal consultation where later the ASEAN Troika will also involve other ASEAN member countries also at the ministerial level or those representing at the meeting later to also think this is in accordance and in line with the decision taken during Indonesia's chairmanship of ASEAN last year.
Keputusan yang diambil pada saat keketuaan Indonesia di ASEAN tahun lalu.
Roy also added this Troika mechanism will be strengthened by the Troika's plus concept, which allows other ASEAN member countries to participate even though they are not yet core members of the Troika. Until now, five-point consensus is still the main foundation of ASEAN in resolving the Myanmar's crisis. The Indonesian government is optimistic that the ASEAN Troika mechanism is able to become a strategic solution in resolving the Myanmar's problems collectively and peacefully. Let's move on to the international news, where Thailand's foreign ministry said Myanmar had released four Thai fishermen detained after the maritime clash in which Myanmar naval vessels reportedly fired on fishing boats. Reported by AFP, Thai foreign ministry spokesman Nikordesh Balankura on Thursday told reporters that in addition to releasing the four nationals, Myanmar took them to a border checkpoint for repatriation. Their release came after Thailand summoned Myanmar's ambassador to Thailand on Monday and sent Thailand's ambassador in Myanmar to raise the issue. The incident of the clash occurred on Saturday, with Thai authorities announcing Myanmar's boats had attacked Thai fishing boats after they strayed about 7 kilometers into Myanmar waters. A Thai fisherman drowned after jumping overboard during the incident. France urged the International Court of Justice ICJ to clarify international law relating to the fight against climate change on Thursday. Quoted by AFP, French representative at the ICJ, Diego Costa, said French believes this consultations process provides a unique opportunity for the court to contribute to identifying and clarifying international law related to the fight against climate change. The International Court of Justice is holding a historic session to draft an advisory opinion on the responsibility of states to combat climate change and the consequences for those who damage the environment. Critics says the ICJ's advisory opinion will be powerless because it is non-binding, but some hope that ICJ will set a legal precedent that will influence domestic climate legislation. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol on the verge of impeachment. South Korean opposition parties have filed a motion to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol over his declaration of martial law on Tuesday, December the 3rd. The main opposition Democratic Party, along with five other smaller opposition parties, filed the motion to impeach President Yoon, arguing that Yoon's declaration of martial law violates the constitution and other laws. The Democratic Party said Thursday it will push for a vote on the impeachment motion against President Yoon Suk-yeol on Saturday, December the 7th. Yoon declared martial law citing anti-state action by the opposition. However, the martial law lasted only 6 hours after being rejected by 190 members of parliament as violating the South Korean constitution and laws. Meanwhile, according to the South Korean presidential office, the imposition of martial law on Tuesday night was justified and within the bounds of the constitution. They denied that it had disrupted lawmakers' access to parliament. President Yoon Suk-yeol of the People Power Party is a conservative former prosecutor who was elected in 2022 by a razor-thin margin over his Democratic Party rival Lee Jae-myung. But his popularity has since slumped, with his approval rating hovering just above 10% amid a doctor strikes and staunch political opposition, including from his own People Power Party. Yoon's impeachment motion was reported to the National Assembly's plenary session on Wednesday morning. Under South Korean law, an impeachment motion must be put to a vote within 72 hours of being reported. A two-thirds majority is needed to pass an impeachment motion, meaning the opposition needs support from at least 8 lawmakers from the ruling People Power Party. Meanwhile, People Power Party leader Han Dong-hoon has vowed to rally to block the motion. If the impeachment motion is passed, President Yoon would be suspended pending a ruling by the Constitutional Court. If the judges approve, Yoon will be impeached and a new election must be held within 60 days. It is hoped that the resolution of the political crisis in South Korea can soon find a bright spot. As one of the countries with the largest economic power in the world, stability in this country is needed so as not to impact the regional and world economy. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Begin today in history with December 6, 1917, when Finland declared its independence. From 1809 to 1917, Finland was an autonomous region of the Russian Empire called the Grand Duchy of Finland. The Russian revolutions that took place in 1917 overthrew the Russian Empire, sparking Finland's desire for independence. On December 2, 1917, the Bolsheviks in Russia determine the fate of the Russian people only, leading the Finnish parliament to draft a declaration of independence for Finland, which was read on December 6, 1917. The Soviet government of Russia recognized Finland's independence on January 4, 1918. Let's move on to December 6, 1989, which was later commemorated as the National Day of Remembrance and Actions on Violence Against Women in Canada. Every December 6, Canada commemorates the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. This day is a momentum to remember women who have experienced violence in their lives. This National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women in Canada is also to create a better world by opposing violent behavior. Quoting National Today, the Canadian Parliament established the day in 1991 to commemorate the 1989 massacre of 14 young women at Polytechnique Montréal, formerly known as École Polytechnique de Montréal. I'll end today in history with December 6, 2018, when the United States recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is a city that is internationally recognized as part of Israel and Palestine. However, on December 6, 2017, the President of the United States at that time, Donald Trump, announced that his country recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Therefore, Trump moved the United States Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This move was opposed by the United Nations Security Council. 14 of its 15 member countries condemned the action, before being vetoed by the United States. Several countries then also moved their embassies to Jerusalem, including Guatemala, Kosovo, Honduras, Paraguay, and Papua New Guinea.
Gak segampang itu, Ray.
Tapi itu yang aku rasain.
Salah terhadapku, ku butuh waktu untuk jalan.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian government opens business potentials with Canadian company. Coordinating Minister for Economy Erlangga Hartarto said his ministry had discussed various business opportunities in various strategic sectors, starting from the energy, pharmaceutical, to food and beverages with Canadian companies. The discussions was held in the meeting with Canadian business delegates joined in the Canada-ASEAN Business Council CABC at the Coordinating Ministry for Economy office in Jakarta, as quoted by Antara on Tuesday. Minister Erlangga, after the session with the CABC, explained that in food and beverages, PepsiCo is preparing the inauguration of their new snack factory in Indonesia. He said the company had invested around $200 million. The meeting with Canadian delegates was also a follow-up from talk with President Prabowo Subianto at the State Palace, aiming to strengthen bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Canada. In the meeting, the Canadian business delegates were led by CABC President Wayne Farmer and was joined by representative of 9 Canadian companies, namely Sun Life Financial, CG Wellington Incorporation, TSEC Incorporation, Natural Resources Canada, Concordia University, Atkins Realis, and other big Canadian companies. Farmer highlighted the focus of Canadian private sector to have an intensive cooperation with Indonesia in the clean energy sector, including nuclear energy as power plant, food, and agriculture resilience, as well as e-commerce and artificial intelligence. In the clean energy sector, CABC stated their readiness to quicken Indonesia's energy transition. Canada is offering collaboration to develop renewable energy and nuclear energy as power plants. According to Farmer, they have a wide experience in managing nuclear energy and are happy to partner with Indonesia to build capacity in managing nuclear energy security and operation as a power generator. CABC also expressed their preparedness to support ASEAN in using nuclear energy as a part of joint efforts to achieve global decarbonization goals.
Tunggu, ternyata sekarang sudah malam minggu. Langsung siap-siap gue manasin motor. Daripada jalan betis jadi gempor. Abis gue mandi semprot-semprot minyak wangi. Gas langsung digas ke rume my honey. Chill dulu biar sehat jasmani. Mumpung banyak duit lagi banyak money. Lanjut telur gulung, kami makan cilok. Seruput tutup dulu, atau makannya dicolok. Masuk rumah hantu, naik ke biang lala. Cobain atu-atu, dung-dung rep lala-lala. Beli kipas angin, ame daster warna merah. Ngilangin suntuk, feeling murah meriah.
Siapa mau ikut ke pasar malam? Daripada di rumah lupa dedi. Cilor makan tutu, ada juga daster color ame kan.
Ada daster, ampe tank top kelihatan pusat. Lingerie digantung, bikin jadi gemuk.
gadas tertolong ame kandu.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
On a culinary trip to West Sulawesi, try to enjoy the culinary specialties of Polewali Mandar, one of the districts in West Sulawesi. There is a variety of delicious culinary, call it bau peapi. In Mandarin, bau means fish and peapi means cooked or boiled. This fish-based culinary has a yellow sauce and tastes sour, spicy, and savory. Fish, usually mackerel or tuna, which is mixed with various special spices such as galangal, ginger, turmeric, pepper, and red chili. In addition to spices, in cooking bau peapi, the local people also have some secret seasonings and techniques. This culinary is made with special spices that can only be found in the West Sulawesi region. Some of these spices include pamaisang or sour mango. Pamaisang is made from certain types of young mangoes called Toisang Padre, Kalokli, and Kakmi. The mangoes are cut into small pieces, then dried. These ingredients give bau peapi a unique sour taste that is different from the sour taste of other ingredients. In addition to continuing to use special spices, the Mandar people also still maintain the traditional cooking process, using clay cauldrons and firewood stoves that are believed to add to the delicacy of bau peapi. Bau peapi is usually served with white rice or jepa, a Mandarin specialty cuisine made from cassava dough and grated coconut made into thin round sheets. It is often served on special occasions such as weddings, holidays, or as part of religious rituals. For those of you who are interested in enjoying bau peapi, this culinary can be easily found in various restaurants in West Sulawesi.
Thank you.
are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Reog Ponorogo, Indonesian performing art that was officially included in the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List in the category In Need of Urgent Safeguarding, which took place at the 19th session of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguarding of the Intangible Cultural Heritage in Asunción, Paraguay on December 3, 2024. Indonesian Ambassador, Permanent Delegate to UNESCO, Muhammad Umar, expressed his gratitude and appreciation to UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage Committee and all parties who have contributed to the process of recognizing Reog Ponorogo as a UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage. Reog Ponorogo is a performance art that combines dance, music, and theater arts in one grand stage. The main icon of the show is Barongan Singo Barong, a large mass in the shape of a lion's head adorned with peacock feathers. This mass is not only a visual attraction, but also reflects strength, courage, and leadership. Reog performances are usually accompanied by gamelan traditional music and involve various characters, such as warok, jatil, and singo barong mass bearers. Each element has a story and philosophical meaning, especially related to the values of courage, loyalty, and togetherness that have been passed down from generation to generation. Listener, Indonesian Minister of Culture Fadlizon emphasized the inscription of Reog Ponorogo as intangible cultural heritage in need of urgent safeguarding by UNESCO is an important moment for Indonesia in the preservation of traditional cultural arts that are deeply rooted in local values and the spirit of gotong royong or mutual cooperation. With this designation, Reog Ponorogo officially becomes the 14th intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia to be inscribed into UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List. Well, listener, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Paling setia, kau yang teristimewa, kau yang aku cinta, cuma engkau saja. Dari semua pria, aku yang juara. Dari semua
untuk
satu-satunya dan tak ada dua, apalagi tiga, cuma engkau saja.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, we meet again on Music Corner, which presents a variety of tunes from various parts of the archipelago. This time, I'm going to play a regional pop song called Loro Pikir from East Java. Loro Pikir is a Javanese song written by Teddy Ut Anugrianto, a talented musician from Bumi Blambangan. First released through a Happy Asmara's performance in 2020, Loro Pikir took off after being rearranged by Bajol Ndanu and uploaded on his YouTube channel. The video has now been viewed for more than 23 million times. The lyrics of Loro Pikir tell the story of someone who doesn't feel genuine affection from their lover. His partner only comes close when there is a need that benefits him. The pain continues to accumulate and suffocate the chest. Finally, he chose to separate rather than stay in a relationship full of disappointment. Well, let's listen to Loro Pikir, sung by Bajol Ndanu along with Fira and Nabila.
Siom make ninggal rasa nong jero dodo.
listener. Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out.